on
This
my computer,
conference will
one says
now be recorded.
it says I have 4:32 p.m. We'll call to order the Public Works Public Safety Committee meeting Thursday, February 4th, 2021 by means of teleconference. We'll go around for roll call. I am here, Andrew Plowman. Councilmember Nelson.
Here.
Councilmember Osmus.
Here.
Councilmember Osk.
Here.
See, I don't struggle with your name. Easy, just got it like that. Joining us also is our city administrator, Mr. Grommets, our police chief, Mr. Felt, our fire chief, Mr. Hansen, our director of public works, Mr. Christensen, our public works superintendent, Mr. Manzer, and also with public works, Mr. Bruce Cochran, and Kelsey Del Bosque is here as well, taking notes and making sure we are recorded properly. First item I have on my agenda tonight would be Project 2001-E Final. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, in front of you is a final. We've been trying to crank these out. This is 2001E, which is a final to Land Pride Construction, or final payment. This would be the sewer line that was put in specifically for Unique Construction, but we did the bidding and construction docs, or reviewed the construction docs rather, so that if they put it in per our specs, we'll take it over as a public sewer line. So it's a sewer line that runs behind the Unique Apartments down to 7th Avenue and ties into that intersection that Andrew knows near and dear. This would be Land Pride's final payout in the amount of $12,409.36. So recommended action would be to adopt the resolution accepting project number 2001E and authorizing final payment to Land Pride Construction in the amount of $12,409.36. And I also would add, as per has been most of our projects, we were in this case $3,000 under our approved budget.
Thank you very much, Sean. How does the committee wish to act on this item?
I'll make a motion to accept that bid, or to pay that.
Second.
We have a motion and a second adopting the resolution accepting project 2001-E, authorizing final payment to Land Pride Construction, the amount of $12,409.36. Any discussion? I see none. Let's go ahead and vote. Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Osk.
Aye.
And Councilmember Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Next agenda item, dump trucks purchase. Is this one by you, Mr. Christensen, or is this Gary?
I'll start it off and let Gary join in where I misspeak or when he needs to add information.
All right, sounds good. Go ahead.
Members of the committee, this is for the purchase of 2 truck chassis from North Central International. Dump bodies and equipment will come from Towmaster. Total amount is $359,138. Taxes and licenses will be added at a later date. Details of this are a little interesting. This will be for this is approved vehicles in the 21 Public Works Capital Outlay Program. One of the new units will replace the 2008 dump truck scheduled for replacement. The other will replace a 2005 John Deere loader. There's an additional 08 International truck that was traded last year that is currently being built by a 2020 International truck that's currently being built. The change from the loader to the truck, if you're wanting to ask that question, is allows our department to use more sanding and hauling capabilities. We've got loaders on hand. We don't need the additional loader and could use the additional truck. And so we opted to make that switch over for the roughly the same money. Timeline for ordering the new trucks and outfitting the snow removal equipment will allow us to use them, if we move on, it will allow them to be used in the fall of 21. So this fall, once the new trucks are finished and delivered, the 08 units will be traded. The 05 loader actually will trade on or sell on GovDeals online auction. I guess with that, maybe we do a motion and then ask for more questions if you want, Mr. Chair. So the motion or the recommended action would be to adopt the resolution approving the trade and purchase of two international truck chassis from North Central International and dump bodies and equipment from Towmaster, amount of $359,138, with tax and licenses to be added at a later date.
Oh, one comment. You remember last December, we brought the initial purchase to the council because we wanted to get the truck chassis on the order before the contract expired. So yeah, you kind of approved the initial purchase. I don't know if that makes a difference or not for that 440. This is just kind of circling back. Now this is the final numbers with, except we did not approve the box portion of it. So this is kind of just tying that all up is what it is, if that makes sense. Because I think you had there, I attached a council action of the 440 that you took back in December, I think it was.
And that's when we had the conversation regarding not needing that loader, but swapping it out for a truck instead.
Right. And the reason we did it in December was because we wanted to get on the before the contract expired for the truck chassis portion of it.
Yep, I recall that, and I it should be a part of our notes as well, but I do specifically remember that. But with that said, we have the recommended action in front of us. How does the committee wish to move, if in any way?
Andrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Is the amount that's in the recommended action then what we need to do, or is it just the difference?
I believe that's the total amount. Sean, am I seeing that correctly? Am I reading it correctly?
Yes, you are. I can go further that under the budgetary, you know, each truck chassis was 94,000 and change. And the dump bodies at 99, almost 100,000. The total was 389,138, which includes the truck chassis and dump bodies, but we were allowed a $30,000 trade for the truck, which brings it to a total of 359,138 less taxes and licenses.
But then that will also leave us an $80,000 surplus, because together the loader and the truck were 440?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that'll just
The resolution said on here that it was to further resolve to staff to authorize 440 for the public improvement, small parade, I can't read it, for revolving funds for the purchase of the to be repaid after January 1st, something about, can't read it, but that was that action taken in December. It should be attached. I don't know if you have that at what I sent in, but it should be attached to that. So yeah, so we won't be using the 440, we'll be using 359 of the 440 or whatever.
Page
that
11
is.
Huh? Is the resolution, you know, and we're looking at, Andrew, you said about 80,000. That is a correct statement. If we assume about 5,000 for last licenses and taxes, we're at the 75 range.
Okay, so that'll just remain in that slot until reallocated?
That's correct.
All right, how does the committee feel? Ms. Osmus, go ahead.
What did we vote on in December? Exactly.
I believe that was the preliminary move in order to get them to go ahead and get their order placed, because there was such a long backlog, and also that it would have had to be repriced, I guess, or rebid and priced for 2021 had we not started the ball rolling. Is that correct, Mr. Manzer?
That's correct. The chassis portion of this purchase under state contract expired in the end of 2020. So they would have to rewrite the bid or the state contract. So we just expedited the chassis portion so we could get under the 2020 contract pricing. And then you've just put an arbitrary number of 440 is what the budget said. And 440 was meant for the whole purchase of the truck chassis and the equipment. So I'm just circling back with the exact numbers from the chassis portion and also the body portions.
Got it. So you're adding an additional, and then you're adding the amount for the add-ons that Towmaster is going to be including.
That's correct. So like each truck, I think each chassis was 90 something. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but the total purchase was like 359 with all the equipment, less the sales tax on the we pay tax on the chassis portion once it's delivered. So it's like tax and license at that point.
I understand, you know, everything that we had discussed in December about why we did and why you got the order in when you did, but didn't we vote on a dollar amount then? I'm just wondering if this is an addendum to that other resolution, or is it a whole new resolution with now has the dollar amount?
Let me take a stab at that, if I may. Here's another way to look at it. What you approved in December was exactly what the CIP or the budget had been approved. And so another way to look at it, what you approved in December was an estimate for a project. What you're approving now is the actual bid cost of the project. How's that?
That works.
Andrew?
Yes, ma'am.
And I obviously didn't state that. I was just trying to know, find out if we needed to relate those two resolutions together in any way. And what you're saying is no?
I don't believe so. I guess I'd defer to our administrator who's shaking his head no. So
okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good way that he explained it, I think, was that number one is to say, oh, it's okay to go out for bids. Now they actually got the bids, so we're saying it's okay to go forward. So I think, yeah, and all the numbers add up to me. So anybody wish to take a stab at it?
Okay. I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution approving the trade and purchase of two international truck chassis from North Central International and dump bodies and equipment from Towmaster in the amount of $359,138 with tax and license to be added at a later date.
I can second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. I understand it's a large dollar amount. It's a little, it's like a house, a nice house. Anyways, it seems like everything adds up, and between the two CIP vehicles at 440 will be around 75 to 80 once tax and license and all that stuff is covered. So we will have a little bit of surplus in that category. Further discussion before we vote? Okay, Councilmember Osmus.
Aye.
Councilmember Osk.
Aye.
Councilmember Nelson.
Aye.
And Councilmember Plowman votes aye. It's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Final item that we have here in our list of action items tonight is regarding a fire department pickup purchase. I assume this one's going to Chief Hansen. Chief Hansen, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Before you is a request to purchase and replace a pickup with a 2021 Chevy Silverado from Schweeters. We did do a state spec and took that spec to both Schweeters and to Atwater Ford and received quotes from both of them. The quotes came back in favor of Schweeters by about $3,500. This vehicle is to replace a 2007 pickup that's been pushed back since 2017 because it's been in pretty decent shape. Things are starting to go wrong with it right now. The deputy fire chief is driving it as his response vehicle. The plan is he's going to continue to drive that for a little bit longer until we can get funding for a new vehicle for him, and then use that vehicle to trade in, or as a trade-in for that vehicle at a later date. So my request to you is to approve a request to purchase the vehicle, a 2021 Chevy Silverado pickup from Schweeters of Wilmer for $33,039 plus tax and title, and also approve additional equipment up to $20,000. The amount is currently budgeted in the 2021 vehicle replacement program.
Okay, thank you, Chief Hansen. I assume the extra equipment would be like radio, lights, siren, all that good stuff?
Yes, that's correct. And then the labor to put it in.
All right, committee, how do we feel about this item? Does anyone feel great enough about it to make a motion?
I was going to let somebody else make it, but I'll make a motion to adopt a resolution approving the purchase of the 2021 Chevrolet Silverado pickup from Schweeters of Wilmer in the amount of $33,039 plus tax and title and additional equipment, not to exceed the amount of $20,000.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion left on this item? Councillor Osmus.
Quick question. In the write-up, it had said that you were going to use the one you're replacing. You were going to keep it in the fleet to use it as a paint vehicle and maintenance, correct?
We are currently using it as the deputy chief vehicle for his response vehicle from home. We are going to trade that one in eventually towards a new vehicle for him.
Okay. But he's going to get this new one, right?
No, this one is going to be a command vehicle based out of the station, and then also used for other response things that we need to pick up for.
Okay. I thought there was something in there about keeping the vehicle for the paint vehicle.
I think that maybe it was a plan for it before we got the deputy chief, and that was kind of, that maybe was in last year's. Okay. And then we changed that plan for this year.
Okay. Because then I was wondering what was going to happen to the other vehicle then that's presently being used as the paint vehicle.
Presently, we're going to keep that one and just use that one as the paint and maintenance vehicle. It really doesn't have a value to get rid of it, so we're gonna keep driving it. It's good enough to do that. You look confused.
Mr. Grammons, go ahead.
Yeah, members of the committee, where Councillor Osmus saw that information was in the vehicle request form, where it identified we wanted to replace this vehicle and we expected it to cost roughly $55,000. The using of the old vehicle was identified as being for maintenance and or paint vehicle. And between the time that was originally adopted, way back, put together back in, July of 2020, the chief has decided that he would change things a little bit, rearrange things. Not saying that if we wanted to keep it, it couldn't be downgraded after the deputy chief gets his vehicle, that we couldn't use it for the paint truck and all that stuff. But that's, we'll worry about that when we get to that point.
Got it. How about if the deputy chief's vehicle bites the dust in the meantime? Then would you go with this one, or would the new vehicle that you were mentioning earlier, would then that one come up as an agenda item?
I would think we'd first probably bring that one up as an agenda item. If we weren't able to fund it, then he would be able to use this one temporarily until a new vehicle can be funded.
Okay, Audrey, I saw you had your hand up. Go ahead.
The moral of the story is we're not trading anything in because the fire department wants to continue using what they have, right? Okay.
I see a whole plethora of nodding heads. So yeah, we got it now. Mr. Ross, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, like, for as far as equipment goes, I know Mr. Plummer, you've already kind of asked about this, about what that entails. Is that like the typical cost for all of that, or are there extra things? Like, it seems a lot to me, but I've never purchased a siren or emergency lights, so.
That is the typical cost. Anytime you put an emergency services in front of a brand name or something, it doubles the price, basically. That's a typical cost to outfit a new vehicle. And that includes install and everything.
Thank you.
And I think that's probably, we looked at that in detail maybe a year or two back, something like that. And it seems like your labor to install that stuff is almost just as much, if not more, than the actual specialty equipment itself. Plus, it's got to be industrial grade, you know, all weather. So it's not your typical Walmart bling, so to speak, for your car. Any other questions before we vote? Okay, we have motioned and seconded a resolution approving the purchase of a 2021 Silverado pickup from Schweeters of Chevrolet Wilmer in the amount of $33,039 plus tax and title, and additional equipment not to exceed the amount of $20,000, and this is in line with our 2021 capital outlay vehicle replacement program. Further discussion before we vote. Okay, Councillor Ask.
Aye.
Councillor Nelson.
Aye.
Councillor Osmus.
Aye.
And Councillor Plowman votes aye. That's 4 ayes, 0 nays. That motion passes. Any other action items that we have tonight, Sean?
Nope, not that I know of, Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead, Audrey.
I was just going to say, for the benefit of our new council member, it seems to me when the details will come back with what those accessory items were, so that I think it's easier to understand if you see what the costs are too. So, but we're good.
Yeah, there usually is a big old line item thing of each individual light module and, you know, radio package and this and that and all that, and it all adds up. So, but good point. Thank you, Councillor Nelson. Okay, since we got through those action items, make sure we got that taken care of in timely fashion. Thank you. Let's do public safety updates. We will switch it up. Police Chief Felt, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. The only items I have for this evening is just to talk about our call for service statistics. You should have had those or received those. I mean, looking through them, fortunately, in looking at 2021 compared to January 2020, things are stabilizing a little bit. A lot of the numbers are appearing more consistent this year as they were last year. Just a few notable things is alarm calls are up. I don't have a good explanation for that. Crashes are down. A lot of that is probably due to we haven't had a lot of weather events, which typically jumps crashes to a bigger number. Criminal damage to properties are down. In last January, I think we were dealing with the number of motor vehicle break-ins at that time, which spiked that up. Gun permits are up. Again, that's part of it is the political climate right now, that on every election year and after that, we tend to see upticks in people getting gun permits. Motorist assists are down. Again, that's partially due to decent weather, so we haven't had people in the ditch quite as often as some other winters. And traffic stops are down. Part of that might be is that the department here is working on some significant calls right now, a lot of fraud complaints, things like that are tying up some officer time. So that is accounting for a little bit of the decreased number of traffic stops. So beyond the statistics here, just a couple things for the committee to have on the radar. They are not going to be brought forward quite yet, but hopefully next month I'll be bringing you a council action report form for a massage parlor ordinance. We've discussed this a little bit before, that one problem we've seen with human trafficking and the investigations that we've done is that the massage parlor type businesses tend to be ripe for criminal activities. So we've had a number of discussions with massage therapists and the massage therapy instructor, who's a doctor out at Ridgewater College, on crafting some type of ordinance that would protect those that are in legitimate business and also give us some leverage for those that are doing it for the wrong reasons. So I'll be bringing that forward to you probably next month for consideration. And also, what's currently being worked on is, per request of a couple tow companies in town here, is a tow ordinance. And the city attorney has crafted some things there. I'm waiting for the tow companies to give some feedback on what was presented, and then that'll be brought to you for consideration. So I sidetracked a little bit, but I'm available for any questions you have on statistics or anything else.
All right, thank you, Chief Felt, and thanks for giving us a heads up for what's going to be coming this direction. That's good. Councilor Osmus. You are muted, but we'll sit here and listen anyways.
Here, let me just use my hands. just to comment on the statistics, they aren't doing what they're supposed to be correlating, as far as usually when traffic stops are up, that means crashes are down. And with all the young officers you've got, I'm surprised it didn't correlate that way. It didn't do what it was supposed to, but it's just the opposite. Crashes are up and down, and tickets are down. Anyway, what are we doing about the rec squad car?
Oh, great question. The city, the adjuster just met on that. We've stripped all the equipment out of it. We are waiting for quotes, actually, for the regular vehicles we were hoping to replace in 2021. Along with that, we're waiting for quotes from Mills Ford is the remaining business we're waiting for quotes from. And that might be something on next month's agenda for consideration too. Right now we had another, believe it or not, a city vehicle or a squad car that hit a deer. So we've got one out of commission right now while that's being fixed. So our school resource officers are using some unmarked cars and spares, and we're taking their marked cars and using those for patrol. And we might come asking to use Frank's pickup pretty soon if things keep happening like this. So
I was going to say, I'm waiting to see the SWAT truck patrolling up and down First Street.
It's a possibility.
That would get the phone lines lit up, I'm sure.
It would get better at the deer, that's for sure. So.
Oh, yeah. Councilor Osmus, followed by Councilor Nelson.
Did the car that hit the deer have at least more than 5,000 miles on it?
That one did. It had had 88,000 miles on it, but we keep them till probably about 120,000, 148,000. So that one's in getting repaired now. So yes, fortunately, okay. That wasn't as new.
No, and we could sort of look at that as good to the public, because that deer could very well have jumped in front of another person's vehicle and injured somebody or something like that. So just saying.
Sure. Okay, and how is the officer doing with the broken neck?
Officer Haycraft came in the office today. He's sore. The good part of it is he's bored to tears at home and is looking for things to do. So he's reaching out to work comp right now to see if there's like some book work or something that he could do around here, get authorization for that. So he's healing up. I think he's got an MRI appointment again this week. Probably at least off for another 4 to 5 weeks anyway, as part of his normal first plan.
Councilor Nelson, go ahead.
I was just curious if the deer encounter happened in the city limits. I know I've encountered them on 19th Avenue and Lakeland Drive on the curve trying to get over or around, the kind of thing. So just was curious if it happened in town.
Yeah, it was North First Street, kind of the radio station road as you go north up towards Eagles Landing in that area. So it was a higher speed, unfortunately, there, but fortunately nobody got injured out of it other than the deer. So
you know, those deer are all coming from Oaken's property. We all know that. He's got like flocks of deer, like herds out there. Any other questions for Chief Felt before we let him go for the evening? Councilor Ross, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going back to like the calls for service. It seems like, you know, in general things are all down. Is that, I mean, is this like, obviously it's going to fluctuate from month to month and year to year, but like, is this kind of average? Is this a little fewer calls than you would normally expect? Or like, how big is the fluctuation, normal, I guess, or is it significant difference? And
you know, we do see an ebb and flow during the year. Some of it depends a little bit on weather. Some of it depends on certain types of criminal activity, like when we have a lot of car break-ins, can account for a big number of calls in a short period of time. The city of Willmar averages, for the police department, averages roughly 50 to 60 calls for service per day. And looking at January, it's slightly under that. But some of them, it can be a little bit deceiving, because if we get a call of a bag of trash on First Street that takes us 5 minutes to drive by and remove, you know, that's 5 minutes. But like the homicide counts from the other day, counts for one call for service, but that's literally hundreds of hours of investigative time. But I would say at this point, it's probably about average for this January. Once we get into about mid-year, we'll have a little closer look, but we're kind of on track with other years, more or less right now.
Okay. And it's good to see like the domestic down pretty significantly too. I know that was so high during some of those first COVID months.
Definitely. Yep. That mental health calls jump dramatically, and we're hoping those will stabilize once the world opens up a little bit more here.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions for the chief? Chief Felt, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for presenting us this data and answering some of our questions. If this is all that you have for the evening, you are free to go.
Very good. Thank you all for your support. Have a good night.
Yep, you too. All right, moving on. Fire statistics, Chief Hansen.
Fire statistics for January of 2021 compared to January of 2020, they are fairly similar. The only thing that really jumps out would be carbon monoxide alarms or calls. We did increase fairly significant. A few of them have been true carbon monoxide emergencies where we've had to evacuate people, have people treated at the ambulance for CO poisoning. I think that's also due to a lot of education that's being put out. People are recognizing it, believing their alarms when they do go off and contacting us versus just either unplugging the alarm or taking the battery out of it. So I think that is probably why it's a little bit higher or significantly higher than last year. You'll see that we responded to 27 calls in January this year compared to 26 last year. And the training is listed, and our average response time is 5 minutes and 28 seconds for the month of January. That in a nutshell.
All right, thank you, Chief Hansen. Questions or comments from the committee? I would just note that, yeah, it's kind of scary that carbon monoxide alarms are up, but I think Chief Hansen's exactly correct that the fact that they're up is probably a good thing as opposed to people pulling the alarm out of the wall socket or taking the battery out and ignoring it, because carbon monoxide is that silent killer, and it's really a tragedy type situation when a family experiences that. And I think that's probably a good thing that we should maybe bring up at the next city council meeting, because it is going to be getting really cold. We're going to have a cold snap, which means people kind of keep their furnaces running even more and keep their houses sealed up even more tight, less air circulation. So that's an important thing. Any other questions for the chief? He is getting out easily tonight. Thank you for being with us, Chief Hansen, presenting this information. If that is everything that you have, looks like it is. We covered the truck. Should be good to go. So you can be on your way if you wish.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a good evening.
Thanks. Good night. All right. And we are on to the final part of our agenda, which is where we can do the most geeking out, talking about construction stuff. Construction updates. Public Works Director Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hadn't planned on completely geeking out tonight, but I will update you and answer any questions you might have. In general, we've got we're narrowing in on the final design and for the construction next year. And so looking to try to bid those in no later than March, try to get that stuff out and going. And I got Bruce on the line with us too, so if I really speak out of turn, he can correct me. But for the most part, he's got design going, and we're ready to go on the couple major projects next year that kind of been a long time coming. And so I was just going to update you a little bit on that. And by and large, the biggest update I want to give you, I want to make sure and give you enough time for, is that we are planning on, as Public Works, the Public Works crews are going to plan on starting to take some of the trees down on Second Street. I didn't want to do that until I told you all about it, because you might get phone calls, because by and large, all or a majority of the trees between the sidewalk and the curb are coming out. They're either old or damaged based on pruning techniques or the power line that's there, or they've damaged curb or they've damaged sidewalk. And so there's a lot, or I don't think there's very many with diseases. Gary can correct me on that, but for the most part, those trees are coming out, and our crews are going to start to pull them out potentially as early as next week. So just definitely wanted to get everybody with an update that is why they are coming out in anticipation of that project, just so that you all are not caught off guard on why are the trees coming down.
You mean why our phones are ringing off the hook?
Well, I wanted to let you know why they would be before they started doing so. So, yeah, we can answer any questions on Second Street and just kind of do it that way for now, if you would like.
Yeah, mine as well. Trees are, well, we all see there's hands up everywhere. People love trees. It's a very sensitive topic. So we got to treat it as such. Councilor Osmus.
Okay, can we appease them by telling them that trees are going to be replanted farther in from the curb?
So we talked about that, because I know that's going to be the first question. And what we like to do, instead of letting that be a contractor issue, kind of do it as pretty much exactly what you said, is that let the homeowner kind of choose from a list, if you will, but work with the Public Works and have our guys, whether we buy everybody that wants one a tree and say you put it on your property wherever you want behind the sidewalk, or whether we as a Public Works crew, after the final lift and pavement's done, go in and do that, we can decide that. The problem with it being part of the project or the crew, on the side where there is a sidewalk, at least there is not a tree planting easement and there's not additional right of way. And so on the west side, it'll most likely have to be, here you are, property owner, we're going to give you this tree, you plant it where you want it in your yard behind the sidewalk. So I think that may be the best way to handle the west side. The east side, right now the anticipation is that, I mean, the design is we're not putting a sidewalk back on the east side because of slopes and other things we've discussed. So we could put trees behind the curb far enough back and still be within the right of way. But I'd almost recommend, if we're going to do it on one side, we do it on both and say, here you go, homeowner, if you want an additional tree, here's your tree, you put it in your yard wherever you like. There are still a lot of trees in yards there. So yeah, it's going to seem like a big number that's coming down, but there are a lot of trees in yards. And in most cases, if it was Public Works decision on based on separation between trees, we would probably not put some back in. Is that a fair statement, Gary?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Sean. I think the one thing about, you know, that East Second Street is such a narrow, there's just not a lot of space in there, you know? And there are a lot of real mature trees that people have back in their yards closer to their homes. And typically when we plant trees along boulevards, we try to space them at a minimum of 40 feet, and not only 40 feet from the next boulevard tree, but 40 feet from a tree that they might have in their yard too.
Well, I like the idea of, I think we might win some brownie points with citizens if we're willing to offer up trees. I don't know if it's going to be because of rental properties and because of other things like that. I don't know just how reliable of a system that's going to be for getting them replanted responsibly. I mean, I can foresee somebody literally digging a hole and setting the tree in the hole a foot off of their driveway. Because they don't know better. Any thoughts about maybe how Public Works could assist like that? I love the idea of you know, giving the homeowner an opportunity to choose their type of tree. What about maybe letting them kind of choose the general vicinity of the tree along with Public Works's hand? In other words, we could sort of allow Public Works to have a little bit of say in terms of where the trees go, so at least they get planted in a responsible fashion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we could make that work, you know, especially if we're having conversations about types. I think we could just extend that conversation about location as well.
I think, you know, it could be something as simple as when that conversation is taking place, you know, just talk to the homeowner and ask them kind of general area with it, where they'd like it placed generally, and then Public Works can take what they know about trees and choose the best area to put it in that general area, you know, for aesthetics and for growth purposes and stuff like that, maintenance down the road.
Yeah, you know, I think we can make something work. We got to be a little bit careful, as you know, some of the arguments we've had about Public Works dealing with trees on private property and things of that nature. Yeah. So we got to be a little bit careful. But I think conversations are easy enough to have and help that way. I don't think is out of line at all.
Administrator Grommets.
Yeah, I think having the staff contacting each property owner, looking at where they would, that the property owner would want to put a tree, and then picking the right tree. I mean, a columnar ash is different than a normal ash. You know, one grows tall instead of wide, the others grow wide, some are shaped like a triangle. These are all, I think, things that our staff could work with the property owner on and say, if that's where you want your tree, then you don't want to put an 80-foot oak there. You may want to put a different kind of tree, and here are the trees that would be best located for that site, and then give them the tree, let them take care of it, let them plant it. That takes us off the private property. If it was on right of way, cool, we can do it. That's our property. But if it's on their property, they should be doing the work.
Okay, thank you, Brian. And I also think Public Works, I think that interaction between Public Works and the community, personally, I think that's good. It's good communication, good positive interaction, allows the property owner to feel like they have some say in what's going on, and they're not just along for the ride. Even if it's something as simple as a tree, something simple like that can go a long way in terms of you know, PR. Again, Bruce, did you have your hand up? Do you want to add something?
I did, but not on the tree issue. It's on access and temporary parking. If we can move to that.
Got it. Got it. Audrey had her hand up, so we'll see if we can close out the tree thing first.
Yeah, two thoughts on the trees. I think we've been proactive, but if you start cutting trees next week, will the Second Street property owners say we were notified, we knew this was happening? I mean, have we done our due diligence so that we don't have complaints with that one? And then the second part of my comment, I like the concept of making sure everybody gets a tree that wants one, but I do think we have to come up with some sort of process so they know they're not the city tree. So if a branch breaks, it's not the city's responsibility to go back if it's not planted on city land. Would that be correct? Or city accessible?
So yeah, something in a pretty easy write-up to present to all of them and explain all that stuff. I don't think that would be too difficult. As far as a notification goes, that's one of the reasons I waited till after this meeting, figuring if any of it ends up in the paper as minutes, or we'll have our minutes put together. If you would rather I wait until after the council meeting so it's presented twice and to the entire council, we can absolutely do that. We just thought that we'd get on it as soon as we can.
I was just trying to remember what the property owners have already received, you know, kind of with that they know the street's going to be done and it's not going to be done, and before we just cut down the tree.
Yeah, at this point, they have been notified of, obviously, of the improvement hearing. Project has been approved and going forward, and the design is ongoing. So they know the project is going to be done, but they have not been specifically told we're removing trees next week. And so, like I say, if that would be make everybody feel better, we can sure wait 2 weeks until after the council meeting.
Councilor Osmus.
I would hate to have you delay, but I understand the notification. But if we just put it on the city's Facebook page, and Audrey's shaking her head, no, she don't think that's enough. And then we're gonna, because they're not gonna get that many done, I would think, within the week. And then we would be discussing it at the council meeting in 2 weeks.
If I may, I've had a lot of conversations with people on Second Street over the years that I've been on the council, and there's a lot of them who don't use Facebook, and the owners are not living in the properties. And so I just would have a concern that, you know, I hear it, but I don't quite know how the notification should take place.
Mr. Gromitz.
Since we already have the addresses due to the potential special assessments, we know exactly every property. This shouldn't be that hard to send a notice out saying, due to the upcoming project in 2021, which is going to be occurring, you know, in the spring or early summer, that we're going to start the process by taking trees out when our staff has time to do it, and let them know, and then start a week later. You know, I don't know that we need to delay it, but I do think we need to be courteous and send them a letter and just say, you will notice we are working on your project. We're going to be taking out damaged trees, diseased trees, all the trees that need to come out in order to complete the project. So bear with us, because it may impact where you park. It may impact your coming and going through the day while we do this work. I think it's just a great PR move that we have the ability to do it. Let's just send a note out.
Excellent idea. I didn't know if I would get beat up about making the staff do something like that, but I think it's a great idea.
I think the Facebook and the other is a great notification to the community also for people who drive down the street or with that. But the property owners themselves, I think, deserve to know that their 50-year-old tree is coming down. So.
Well, and here's the thing. Prepare yourselves, because those who are going to be angered or upset by the trees coming down, they're going to remain angry and they will still contact you anyways. and I will bet my week salary that that's going to happen more than once. So the thing is at least if we take the steps that Sean and Mr. Grommets have both said in contacting these individuals, at least we can't be accused of not telling anyone or not giving anyone notice or warning. So yeah, and I think the idea of replacing those trees and allowing the property owners some vested interest in doing that, so to speak, and taking part in that process, I think that can help heal some of those arbor wounds, so to speak, because they will be deep and they will be lasting, but has to happen. Councilor Osmus.
Just a caution, don't be promising them that they're going to get a tree, because they might not be within the 40 feet of their present ones, or say that the city's going to be looking at it to see if they would be able to get a tree. Because that's the other part. I wouldn't want to promise somebody they're going to get one and then turn around and tell them now they can't have it. So
it is our hope that this can happen. All right, Bruce, you wanted to make note regarding temporary parking options.
There was some criticism on 9th Street about access and parking during construction. With the tree removals, I'm going to start a mailing campaign or identifying property owners that have parking lots at front on 1st Street between Olina and Becker that could potentially be used for residential parking during construction. You know, McDonald's and KFC all have lots that front back out onto 2nd Street. So I'll be contacting those people, asking them if they would be so kind as to let us park during the construction period for the residents on 2nd Street.
Sounds perfect. Yeah, any additional areas, I know parking's always a concern, especially in there. You have a lot of people per square foot in that area of town. So the more space, the better. Sean, further issues regarding other construction projects that you want to discuss?
You know, I was just going to relay again the idea for Eagle Ridge Drive. I don't see it being an issue, but again, we are not putting water and sewer in on that street because they're newer and they're in better shape. We are putting some storm drain in. We are replacing curb and gutter to be the existing vertical type, flat face, whatever you call it, curb. And then we are putting tile drain in. The tile drain, I've probably heard more comments about the tile drain than any of them, because, well, quite frankly, the people I heard from don't necessarily want it. They don't think they need to pay additional to accommodate two or three people. The tile drain is to drain the sub base of the road, first and foremost. Secondly, it's used to, it can be used to attach sump pumps too. So that's the, I probably should have made a bigger deal out of that when I was given the presentation. But that's the narrative that I need to be a little more specific on, is that is to drain the base of the road to keep the road structure in place. Like I say, secondly, the second benefit to that is to have an access for the sump drainage if you need it. But that street should be, could be considered full depth reclamation. It could be considered a number of different things, but it is not the full water sewer deep digs or deep trenches that you're going to see on 2nd Street and that we saw at 9th Street last year.
Okay, good notes. Yeah, those are conversations that have been had a few times, that the purpose of that drain tile or that drainage layer is not for surface runoff and is not strictly for any kind of plumbing issues or anything like that. It is to keep the base dry, because when you have a dry base, your road lasts longer, compacts better initially, and all that good stuff. And it really doesn't add that much cost to the entirety of the project, does it, Sean?
No, it doesn't. And I'm a going to put Bruce on the spot for a cost, but it does not add more than a few dollars a foot, to be honest with you, if that much. It's they got to dig anyway. It's elevation wise or grade wise, it's just barely below the curb and gutter, so it's not in a deep trench. It's effectively right behind the curb and gutter. So there will be some additional black dirt, some sod put in, or some black dirt and seeding rather put in behind the curb and gutter that the residents will have to maintain. So sprinkler systems that are all the way up to the curb will be affected. And that's probably going to be the biggest complaints on that project, to be honest with you.
Overall feedback from residents on that one's been pretty positive, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Like I say, the negatives are, am I going to have to pay to put my sprinkler system back in? That's been the biggest issue. And what we've told people is if you remove the sprinkler heads, there'll be a lot less damage when the curb and gutter machine goes through there. And you may have to splice some pipe back in, but the majority of it, I would hope that you don't have a main line right behind the curb. You should not, but if you do, then you do have bigger issues. In most cases, you'll shorten a stub line to put the sprinkler head back on. So.
All right. Bruce, I saw your hand up.
I'm just going to reflect on the cost of that subsurface drain.
Yep.
Last year's work was between $5 and $7.50 a foot. That each side includes the caps and the tees. If this is the most economic time and most logical time to do it.
What's the elevation, the invert of that? Is that like 6 feet?
3 feet below the top of curb to the flow line.
Three feet below top curb. Okay, good to know. And also good to know too, that will that be marked in any way for residents to be able to find that for their sumps?
We'll work with the property owners to find the most logical place. If they've got a sump line coming out of the house, it's pretty obvious where that goes.
Yeah.
But if we don't have a direct conversation, we'll initiate it. And if that fails, we'll put it at the low end of the lot so water runs downhill. This is the best opportunity to hit it.
So most of those homes do have interior tile systems. Some of them have exterior, and they most go to baskets. I think 9 out of 10 drain to the road or to the street over using like a pop-up emitter, or they've notched out the curb or something like that. So I think a majority of the homeowners there probably have those sump pumps.
We look at
that. Is good to know.
I think there's just a handful that don't have sump pumps.
Yeah. Okay, good. Other questions from the committee regarding that project?
You're just getting a little geeky there, Andrew.
Oh, sorry. I'll zoom back. 50,000 feet. I'm just saying, if you want to contact the county and ask them what happened when they did a test, one section of County Road 1 with no drainage and the next section properly drained, they'll let you know. But I'm not going to drop any names as to who was involved in that. Sean, anything else we should know with regards to road construction?
Not for me. Thank you.
Harry, Bruce, City Administrator Grommets, anything you want to add? Nope, everybody's hungry. Okay, well, if there's no, okay, Audrey, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to say
no problem.
Thanks to Bruce for being proactive on the parking, because I know he had enough issues with 9th Street last week or last year, we all did. So I just want to thank Bruce and Public Works for being proactive with that. Second, and I'll just bring it up again, snow removal. Just a question on the sidewalks with the schools going back to full. I'm observing 7th Street, Candy High, 19th Avenue. There's just sections all over the place, and I don't know what the answer is. But I'm just wondering if we're getting complaints or if there's anything we can do about it. Second thing, Paul and I were out. We observed the Rice Hospital, whoever they contract with, the piece of equipment they use to clean sidewalks was kind of fun to watch. So just wondering if you guys are in tune to that or if that's a unit that would enhance Public Works.
Gary, do you know what that thing is?
If it's the one they were standing on, kind of that little sidewalk deal. Yeah, I seen that. In reference to Rice Hospital, they and our Caris Health, I guess it would be, I don't know if you noticed, but they use a ton of salt. I mean, they pour, they spray every sidewalk, the parking lot. They have water running all the time, and that's kind of a reverse what we're trying to do. But as far as sidewalks go, Audrey, Paul worked probably half a day on the east side, and I think Kelsey's sending out a long list of sidewalks that, you know, I think she got it mailed out either yesterday or today, and you know, we're moving forward with it. But we're well aware of what the issue of not having them done. I know Sean and I have had some conversation on another way to expedite the whole process, to say, whether it's a door hanger, it's like, hey, you got to get the sidewalk shoveled or we're going to do it, you know? So there's this kind of, I don't know, it's maybe an education thing too, but it's a tough one right now.
But just know that I mean that to be supportive, and if there's something else that you guys need to do it or whatever, that, you know, that's, I think, my question, so.
Yeah, no, I'm taking, you know, I've always felt there's a lot of support from this committee, so I don't, anything that's brought to me, I don't take it as criticism at all. I appreciate that, but I do share the frustration in the sidewalks, and I see them all over the place, so.
I have talked to city attorney, who's given me a couple ideas that we can expedite, so you don't end up with a week after the snowfall before the sidewalk gets cleared. So the door hangers is one of the ideas, and then the fact that the ordinance says is very clear, we don't have to wait for the mail type thing. We can kind of get after it if we need to, and send the bill or put it on their tax bill at that point. But especially the ones that are frequent flyers, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's, Audrey's exactly right, because this did just come up after the last snowfall again, but we could have a couple, and usually it comes up after the big snow and ice events. We got to just be, because it's a little different than not taking care of your yard, because not taking care of your yard, if you let your grass grow a foot and a half long, it doesn't block a person's ability to get through there. But when you have people that are trying to commute through there to go get groceries or to go do whatever, that's a little bit more important than just aesthetics. So yeah, we want to empower you guys to be able to enforce policy, and especially if policy is already on the books, then there's absolutely no reason that it's not enforced properly. So we want to be supportive from that aspect.
I will tell
further
you too,
questions?
I'm sorry, I will tell you too that a whole stack of notices were mailed yesterday, so they are in the mail now.
Okay, well, hopefully we don't have record setting winter yet. And I had, my kids were asking if winter was half over, and I looked at them and I lied through my teeth and I said yes. So we'll hope that's true. Questions or comments from the committee? Okay, anything else that anybody wants to see on a further agenda item that wasn't already talked about? If you have extra agenda items or ideas or anything like that, questions, email them to Kelsey or to Sean. We can, or myself, we will make sure to get it on a future agenda as promptly as possible. And other than that, if we have nothing else for the evening, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
I'll move.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for being here.